All right, we begin hour number three right here on Sports 1140 KHTK. Grant Napier, Doug Christie.
Yes, sir.
We welcome your phone calls at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. We have got Yogi Ferrell and Ben McLemore out for the Kings. We've got Bender out for the Suns. And we're about 2 hours away from the start of this game tonight in Phoenix, the first of six preseason games. And I see Corliss Williamson over there. I forgot that Corliss has been at it as a coach here in Phoenix as he comes from Orlando.
Big nasty.
Yep.
That's right. Arkansas's finest right there, Grant. And one heck of a player. We have the tie of that's how I got to Sacramento, so I'm always happy to see Big Nasty.
Be interesting to see who we see from Phoenix as well tonight in terms of their starters.
Yes, Isaiah, you know what he just told me? Kanan. It's Kanan now.
Right. It's Kanan?
Yeah, not Kanan.
Oh, wow.
I was just talking.
Oh, okay.
Talking to Tim, and it says it right here. That's why me and you talked about.
Right.
We got to
get
be,
our, yeah.
Absolutely. So I would think that they would go with Isaiah. Mikael Bridges is a young player.
Yep.
Might see some time as well. But they have a lot of smaller guys. It looks like they're trying to get out and really switch a lot and that sort of thing. So we may see a bit of that, which could give the Kings a size advantage that hopefully they take advantage of, not only on the interior, but definitely on the boards as well.
You know, I've always wondered why a player would not make that correction years ago instead of now. You know?
Well, I was just talking
with Tim Kempton.
Kempton, and
the
I looked at
announcer.
Him and I said, yeah, mine is Christie, still Christie. last time I checked. You know what? I don't know. It's hard for me to say, Grant. You know, some guys do that differently. We see Tyrod for the
yes.
Bills. Tyrod,
yeah,
and it's Tayrod.
Yeah, right.
I don't
Tyrod.
Tyrod.
Yeah.
Listen.
I know.
Whatever your mama called you, that's what I'm going to call
it's
you.
It's unbelievable, isn't
yeah,
it?
It is. But, hey, their name is on the back of the jersey. And you remember Cliff Robinson?
Yes.
And then he went to Clifford.
Clifford.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, you know what? And I was thinking, and I've never asked Cliff, and he's a good friend of mine. I've never asked
Love
him.
Love Cliff.
I'm sure that that's probably the name on the birth certificate. Because mine is Douglas, just in case you didn't know. I'm just not Doug. Okay? It's Douglas.
How do you like that, Douglas?
Douglas.
All right.
That's what my mom called me when she was upset.
Huh.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah, she said, hey, Doug.
Your birth certificate says Douglas,
absolutely.
Huh?
Uh-huh. L-A-S, baby. Come on.
All right.
Maybe I shouldn't have told you that.
No, it's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
I don't think there's anywhere to go with Grant. That's it is what
Mine
it is.
Mine says make the quick.
Number what? Number 21?
No, 17.
17, my bad. Not number 7, that's for sure.
He had a big game in 1978, too, in the game we were talking about.
Oh, come on. Are you
he
serious?
Did. He was outstanding.
Was he? Come on, Grant.
Buddy Hield coming out onto the floor. And I know one thing, preseason, regular season, postseason, playing a round game, playing a game of cards, he's going to compete.
Yes, he is. And coming to the shoot-around today, that was the last player on the floor leaving the shoot-around. And, you know, I'm happy for Buddy because a lot of things I thought we saw change last year, Grant, and a lot of them for the better for Buddy, and this is another opportunity for him. A young player that I really like, Grant, and I'm really rooting for this kid, is Winyon Gabriel out of Kentucky. I love the way that at 6'9", I mean legitimately 6'9", this guy has some size on him. It looks like he's going to be a 3. He can shoot the ball a little bit. He's got to improve on that. But his ability to move as a mover, I really like what I see out of Winyon Gabriel, and I'm cheering for him.
All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Again, we are not sure who the Kings are going to go with tonight, the 5, but would not surprise me if you see Fox, Hield, I think Cauley Stein, Scal, Justin Jackson. That sounds about right.
I would say so, especially from the standpoint that they are, you know, veteran-ish. I don't think you got a lot of veterans on here, but you know, some guys with that have played before, know Coach Yeager's system a little bit, and then start to bring in the young guy slowly.
All right, let's say it's DeAndre Ayton and Willie Cauley-Stein. How does Willie Cauley-Stein go with him?
Man, I don't think Willie shouldn't have a big problem with him, in my opinion, because, first of all, he's been in the league for 3 years, so there are some tricks and different things that he should know. Also, his ability to run the floor, he should get out and make sure that he runs pick and rolls. Willie has the ability to show, get back, depending on the coverage. Fast hands, a really solid body that can bang against him, and an ability to contest the shot and box him out. DeAndre Ayton is probably the type of guy you would think that would give DeAndre a little bit of trouble, because he is a really big guy and athletic and moves well.
And then, you know, for the Kings, I think it's going to be fun to watch Marvin Bagley tonight. It's going to be fun to see, you know, Harry Giles. I think those two in particular are going to be really fun to watch. It's such a shame that Bogdan is going to miss the beginning of the season, because he's, you know, I think the Kings' best all-around player.
Yes, he is. And let's not – he's a playmaker as well. I mean, he makes plays with the basketball, and all of those plays aren't for him. Those plays are to make his teammates better, and that is something that will be sorely missed until he comes back. Talking about Harry Giles – and Marvin Bagley, talking to Marvin, I said, are you nervous? He says, no, more anxious. So there's a difference between nervousness and anxious. He's like, look, it's basketball, but I am anxious to get out there and play. So both of those guys, they'll be a little butterflies, but after they get hit and move up and down the floor a few times, those should go away quickly.
And I also think it's important for these young players like a Marvin Bagley and for DeAndre Ayton, during this preseason, they're going to get a feel of how the game is called.
That's a good point right there, because a lot of times they're going to see that some veterans get some calls that they're going to be up in the hip, throw their hands in the air, and that's where you keep your mouth shut as a young player, give that player the respect, and the respect is you compete against them at a high level, and then don't try to show up the referee so you don't get that bad vibe about yourselves with the refs. I'm a player that I come out and I compete. You learn all the little things that you need to learn as a player going into the playing in the preseason game.
Yeah. I've never understood young players that, you know, start griping at officials because they're really hurting themselves.
Well, that's where, you know, the coaching staff and everybody steps in and says, hey, listen, that we don't do that. We don't want to see that. You play, deal with whatever the whistle is. Have the ability to adjust. And if you have the ability to adjust, you'll play well in this league. If you don't, you're going to have trouble.
All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. If you want to talk about that, you want to talk about some NFL football. And speaking of NFL football, the Niners, you know, without Jimmy Garoppolo, I thought offensively, you know, they had some bright spots. They were not able to run the ball at all yesterday against the Chargers and, you know, the Raiders and the Browns. It was almost like who was going to have the ball last was going to win that football game.
Well, Matt Breida, you're thinking that he was probably going to have he was going to have the type of game that maybe a breakout game with no Jimmy G.
Yep.
C.J. Beathard, but only 39 yards on 9 carries. Listen, it's going to be tough sledding for this 49ers team. Make no mistake about it. They should be very thinking really some positive thoughts. 27 points against a Los Angeles Chargers team that has high hopes. Now, albeit no Bosa on the edge. So if he's not out there rushing, that definitely helped the 49ers out.
Yeah, no doubt. 339-1140 and again 800-920-1140. You know, and then you talk about, you know, other NFL games and, you know, the Titans who, you know, beat Jacksonville and Philadelphia on back-to-back weeks. The Bears with Mitchell Trubisky, who all of a sudden, I mean, think about that, 6 touchdowns.
Man.
That's amazing, isn't it?
That guy was throwing the ball all over the field, and if he is going to play like that, if Mitchell Trubisky is going to be able to throw the ball, move the ball up and down the field, the Bears are going to be formidable because they have a defense that is going – they're going to create turnovers, they're going to give you field position, a lot of things like that. Now you just need Mitchell Trubisky to make sure that he's, first of all, not turning the football over. Grant, when you look at him, 19 for 26, 354 yards, 6 touchdowns, Grant, no turnovers. That's the big key.
All right, Monday Night Football, you have the game starting here in just a few minutes. Kansas City is at Denver. I think you picked Denver in this game. I think I picked Kansas City. Divisional game, huge. Did you? Oh, you picked Kansas City? I'm sorry.
Really?
No, I don't know. I can't remember. Who'd you pick?
I got to watch you, man.
No, who'd you pick?
I picked the Chiefs.
All right, because, you know, with the Giants-Saints, you picked both teams, so I don't know who you picked in this game.
That's how you
– Who did I tell you was going to win that game on Friday?
I'm glad I switched.
No, Jay said that you could not switch.
Oh, you guys!
See, no, he told you. He said, "He goes, you can't change your mind."
Because you only get a half a point, man.
Listen, I
you only get a half a point, DC.
That ain't right, man. You guys are killing me, man. You guys, hey, listen, this was my week. I was making up a little ground.
You were making up some ground, but
now you took it away from me.
Got a half
Thanks.
Point.
I got a half point.
Jay,
so I'm the only guy who's picked. pick game in the history, and I pretty much ended up with a tie.
No, I don't have a problem with you switching. I have a problem with you switching after I broke down the entire game, and you're like, okay, you just convinced me to switch. You see, you can't do that, right,
actually,
Jay?
That means Grant's get half the point then.
You guys are killing me right now. You know what? I should be quiet because the more we talk, the worse it gets.
He convinced you to take them. So, actually, you're right. You're right, Napes. You get half the point.
There you go.
You guys are terrible, man. You guys are absolutely terrible. Jay, you do got me down for the Chiefs, correct?
Yeah, I have you down for the Chiefs, but I also have Grant getting a half a point in your name.
Oh, man, you too. I got to watch you guys. I never gamble with you
guys.
Did
we pick Seattle?
I did.
Yeah, did I pick Seattle?
No, I think you picked the Cardinals.
No, I picked Seattle.
Oh, you took the Seahawks.
No, we all did.
Yeah. Man. We're not even going to talk about what we did this week. I was going to look, and I haven't looked.
Well, I had a terrible week, so you would have picked up some ground because the games that went to overtime, I lost those. Like the Houston game against Indianapolis, you picked Houston, I had Indy, and then the Cincinnati-Atlanta game where Cincinnati scored on the last play of the game.
I had turned away, and I went, whoa.
I know. So you and I picked Atlanta, you picked Cincinnati. That came down to the final play. There were some crazy finishes yesterday.
There were, and you know, Grant, a lot of those, the overtime games, if you look back at them, or even those tie games, both of those teams the next week have lost.
And you picked Dallas. I picked Detroit. And again, last second play, you know, to
what do you want?
Prescott to Elliott, and then
Prescott to Elliott.
No, it was.
I know, but I'm just saying.
It was a very good pass.
You got him playing receiver too, huh?
Whatever it takes to win in the NFL, you
got
to do.
Yeah, you got a good point there. This should be a good one tonight, though. This is a Broncos team that's a little underrated probably, and a Chiefs team that some people think is overrated because of the defense. And you know Earl Thomas, there was talk that he might have been going to the Chiefs. Imagine what Earl Thomas would have did on the back end of that Chiefs defense with that type of offense. Boy,
can you imagine?
Yeah, I can actually. As big DeAndre Ayton strides onto the court. Look at those strides, Napier. Big man.
Yeah, he is.
He's a big man.
He is really going to be fun to watch early on, don't you think?
Yeah, I do, especially when they get Devin Booker back, because when you get a guy like Devin Booker on the floor, so much attention has to be given to his offensive potential that all of a sudden you let a big guy like that gain some ground on you in the interior, and he's going to be dunking the ball on your head. I can imagine those two in pick and rolls. I can imagine back picks being set for Devin Booker with quick slips by DeAndre Ayton to the basket. And, yeah, this is going to be Kokoschkov. Kokoschkov.
Okay, thank
just
you.
Just got a – it's Igor Kokoschkov,
yes,
the new head coach.
That's correct.
Who, you know what, Grant? He coached the summer league team as well.
Yes, he did, which I thought was very interesting because you normally don't see that.
Yeah, but I would say – or you tell me your thoughts. Would you think that the stuff that we saw in the summer league is probably a lot of the stuff that we're going to see tonight because he was trying to implement it? I think so as well.
All right, let's get to Garrett. Garrett, welcome to the program.
How's it going, guys? How are you doing today?
Good, Garrett. What's going on with you?
Not much. I got to talk about the Raiders. They so glad they pulled out the win against the Browns. I know they're not the Browns that we're used to. They seem like they're going to be a little better this year and maybe in the years coming with Mayfield. But The thing that gets me is, and I saw this today, I've heard a lot of fans say, man, we're the best 0-3 team, or we're the best 1-3 team now. And before, as a Raider fan, I'm just like, man, how can you say that? Like, the best 1-3 team. So I did some research, and we literally are the best 1-3 team. It blows my mind. If you guys have a chance, or you guys probably already know this, the Raiders have the second, I think we're the second-ranked offense in the NFL right now. And that just blows my mind. It goes to show that this defense needs a
pass rusher,
huge overhaul. I just wanted to get your thoughts.
I would agree with you. Defense is going to be where it's at. What to say about the fact that you guys let Khalil Mack get away?
They didn't let him get away. They gave him away.
Yep. Okay. Yeah.
Well, you always got to be particular, Napier.
Well, did they or did they not?
You are correct. I didn't say you weren't right. I just said you had to be particular. That's all. I'm just saying.
Hey. But he's not helping the Bears at all, so that you can take solace in that.
Cut it out.
You know, he hasn't made an impact at all on that team. So at least if you're a Raiders fan, you can take a little solace in that.
Yeah, true. That's pretty much it. I just wanted to get you guys' opinion on that. It just blows my mind that they're the second-ranked offense, which is awesome. But it's just sad that their record doesn't show.
Yeah,
that.
I don't really, you know.
Well, you can be happy about Gerrion Conley. I mean, the kid looks like, you know, it was a while for him to get on the field, and now he's on the field, and it looks to be that he's making some plays.
Anything else? All right, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Let's get to some more phone calls, and we check in with Doug. Hello, Doug. Welcome. You're on with Grant Napier and Doug
Gentlemen,
Christie.
Gentlemen, how you doing?
What's happening?
Good. This is Douglas to Douglas.
Hey, what's up? Law firm.
We like that.
I got a few questions here on the Kings. Going into the preseason with Coach Yeager, with a lot of spots already filled, that contracts have already been issued and stuff. There's probably I don't know if we have a spot or two that we don't have contracts for, but from a coach's perspective, what would be things that need to be addressed, accomplished, developed over the six games going into the season? And I'm going to give my early prediction, but I think if we can do 25 to 30 wins, that's the best I think we can do.
Man, that's an open book when you say what I don't know that we have a lot of penciling in. And when I say penciling in, I'm saying the things that you can absolutely count on a night-to-night basis. You got your buddy Hill that looked to be really solid coming off the bench, and that is a big piece because not a lot of teams have that six man that they can depend on, but the Kings absolutely do. What is De'Aaron Fox going to do in year number two? Is he going to take a quantum leap? Is he going to take a small step? There's a lot to his game that he has to – for the jump shot, yes, but the ability to set the table and run the ball club. Willie Cauley-Stein into a contract year. Scal LaBissiere. So what I'm pointing out is – then you got your rookies in Giles, and you got Marvin Bagley III. So there's a lot of questions,
right,
I think, and hopefully the preseason will answer some of those questions, not only for you as Kings fans, but also for Coach Yeager.
Also, I was thinking is that the West is stacked as it is. It's going to be hard-pressed for us to get wins and stuff, but if you can do a little feasting on the East, if there's an opportunity there that – we just have to play well on the road this year. And, you know, if we got 10 to 12 wins on the road, that seemed like that 25 to 30 is a doable number.
Well, the one thing that you want to see out of a young team is that they go out and compete extremely hard every night and that they learn their lessons. You don't want to see the same thing happening over and over again. And there will be many lessons to be had, whether it's in the Western Conference or, as you mentioned, in the Eastern Conference. You want to see them play well, because if they are playing against better talent in the Western Conference, which I believe everyone thinks they will, it'll help them when they face those Eastern Conference teams.
I certainly enjoy both your gentlemen and your opinions and input and having a show that we can go in and call into. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for listening. We really appreciate it.
And a great name, by the way. Yeah.
Douglas is a
great name.
You too.
Yes.
Absolutely. Very unique.
Stop it. Come on, man.
What? Just saying, very unique. It's not?
No. Well, you know, not really sure. It's mine.
The answer is no.
Forget you, Grant.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
It's not that unique.
It's not that unique?
No, you know, but, you know.
I'm unique.
You are very unique.
Yeah, there you go.
There is no doubt about that.
So you're telling me I helped the name then?
You are unbelievably unique.
Yeah, this Western Conference, as Doug just said, there are a lot on a night-to-night basis, Grant. It's going to be tough sledding, and you're going to have to come out. And that's one thing that will teach these young players, because you're not going to do it individually. It's going to be a collective effort that are going to get you whatever wins you do get.
All right, Denver is already on the board. They lead Kansas City 3-0. A couple minutes into that game, we got NBA basketball that we're talking about. We're also going to talk about the A's as the A's play in New York against the Yankees on Wednesday. Ray Fosse is going to join us from the A's television crew. He'll talk to us about how he thinks the A's win this game and how he thinks their Bob Melvin is going to use the pitching staff.
And that's gonna be a big question and a big key, because neither one of these teams necessarily have that ace. You talk about Hap for the Yankees, who, listen, if he's pitching fantastic, Grant, yeah, he could probably go into the fifth inning or something
easily
like that. But if he's not, they have a bullpen. On the other side, when you look at the A's, they have so many players that you could go one inning, and we've seen Bob Melvin do as much, where he's one, two innings, and you're out of there, and they bring somebody in, position pitching, a lot of different things. So I guess that would probably be the big question going into it, is what's going to happen with the pitching?
I'm not sold on that for this reason. When you're talking about a one-game playoff, to me, if you're able to get a guy that can go multiple innings, and by multiple innings, I'm not talking about two, but if you can get a starting pitcher like Milwaukee did today and get you into the sixth inning with only giving up one run.
Oh, boy.
That, to me, is what the goal is there.
Yeah. Now, if you can do that, you're cooking with grease, because they're – and I don't know this, Grant, because I've never pitched, but you got to think, especially today, going into the sixth inning is kind of like, yeah, you know, maybe even pitching a full game. It gives the other guys confidence that, like, they are like, we don't want to let this go
right
for our guy. We're coming in with smoke.
You got to watch out for fires when you're cooking with grease, don't you?
Yeah, sometimes you do.
Yeah, all right,
I
was just wondering about that.
Just make sure you tie your apron on tight, Napier.
Absolutely, and I always do. I always do.
I would pay to see
that.
Oh,
I always have my apron tied tight.
I would pay money.
Absolutely. All right, we'll be right back. This is Sports 1140. Who do you like in the World Series this year? Who do you think, with what we know today, now that we have decided the division and the wild cards, who's the team, first of all, coming out of the National League?
Ooh, Grant. I think that's a hard – I'd be hard-pressed to say, to be honest with you.
I'm going to choose Milwaukee, and I'm going to tell you why.
Nah.
Nobody's talking about them.
You've said this for –
And I've been saying – there's something about this team that they got a little moxie going right now. I know.
Listen, it's hard for me to pick the Dodgers.
I can't.
I know they continue to
right
to let people down. The Cubbies, I would have said them, but the Brewers, to put it on them today already. And I don't. I think the Braves. I know everyone's saying, look, they're here. They're a year away. I think you might be right with the Brewers, but I'm going to go with.
You're
going to
go with Atlanta?
No, I'm going to go with the Dodgers.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I think they figure it out. Maybe.
You know, Atlanta's. I mean, what they've done is remarkable to me.
Yeah,
they got a beautiful new ballpark.
You've been there, right?
Yeah, it's very nice.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh man.
You know, they built the area outside of Atlanta. It's almost like being in a ski village without the mountains around. That's what being at a – no, really.
Really?
Everything around the ballpark has been built with little restaurants and stores and just like a little ski village with a ballpark in the middle of it.
Wow.
It's really nice what they did there.
So, AL, the Indians aren't the Indians. I know that they're kind of flying under the radar. The Houston Astros, I think that they've been dealing with a lot of injuries and different things. I don't know that they're going to – look, they probably have the best team, but are they going to be to full strength? We don't know that. Looking at the Red Sox, listen, this team looks to be right. Is Price going to be able to deliver in the playoffs, which is something that he hasn't done before that? I would probably go with the Red Sox. I know that that's, you know, easy when they look at 108 wins. And maybe my
– you know what the problem I have with them, and besides the fact that where they're from, is they really haven't had a meaningful game in a long time.
It has been for
it's
a while.
The same thing with Houston. And I wonder, you know, about turning it on, turning it off, and how these teams do it. They should win. They got the best roster from top to bottom.
What do you think about the Indians?
They are a team who's, just because of the history of their franchise in the city, how much longer is that window going to be open
gonna
for
them?
Going
to be open. That's a good point.
And so, you know, they're – you're going to think this is crazy. Are they getting a break by not having to play Boston and taking on a team, as you said, that's really battled through a lot of injuries and adversity this year in Houston? But you know what? When you look at that starting pitching for Cleveland and you look at that starting pitching for Houston, oh, boy.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. Then you got to ask yourself, which of those two teams is better at manufacturing runs? And to me, it's Houston.
You probably got – listen, Keuchel, Verlander, you know what you're going to get. They've been there to the dance. They've won it, and they're not really going to get rattled. I look at Kershaw. It always seems like he's going to give up a home run at the most inopportune time. And you've mentioned many, many times, pitching is the biggest thing when you come to the postseason.
Well, and that's why when you look at this game on Wednesday in New York, it's so odd because – the A's don't have an ace.
Right.
And the Yankees don't really have an ace. I mean, they thought they had it in Luis Severino, but he has not pitched well enough to get the ball. Hap, who they got in a trade, was to solidify the rotation, not to be their number one guy. He's been their best pitcher. So it's interesting that you have two teams that are playing in a game where their rotations are set up just the way they want, but neither team really has an ace.
Severino, Grant, had so much fall off from the first half of the season to the second half of the season. Is it just – I mean,
he's pitched a little bit better lately, but I could not – I personally could not give him the ball on Wednesday.
But if Hap has a problem, that's where you're going next.
If this were a best-of-five series
– No,
it is. No, I'm saying if it were, I would start Severino in game one because then I have a little margin for error. I can't. I can't start him in a single game elimination if I'm Aaron Boone, and the guy that has been the best pitcher over the most significant amount of time.
Right.
Is J.A. Happ. I got to give him the ball.
Yeah. Do you go to Severino after Happ, or do you wait a little bit?
I personally would go with Tanaka.
Okay.
Because if he's on, and he did not pitch against the A's this year. But the way his, you know, he throws a sinker ball, he gets a lot of ground ball outs, and against this team with Davis and their other power ball hitters, if he's pitching well, it's very difficult to hit the ball out of the yard against him.
Well, big decisions to be made by Mr. Boone because
I think it's going to be Happ.
You think so?
I think so.
Okay. Well, listen.
And here's the other deal. He's a lefty, and I like starting lefties at Yankee Stadium, even though – The porch is, you know, like a guy like Chris Davis hits the whole field. So he's hit home runs, you know. If you look at his home run map, it's incredible.
It is. For most power hitters, there's going to be an area, and probably looking at it, there is, but the ability to spray that ball all over the place just says so much about his power.
I also think what's key in this particular game, because of the bullpens of both teams, the team that leads after five innings has a huge advantage in this game because both bullpens have been almost, you know, you can't even score against them a lot of times. So this is a race to the sixth inning. That's how this game's going to go.
When you look at Trident, how, if you're Bob Melvin, is there any thought if things start to
– No.
You only bring him in to close.
Like if the bases are loaded and one out, would I bring him in? No.
We've seen Kenley Jansen come in and do more than – he's a closer, but he's done more than a closer.
I'm going to tell you why the answer to that question is no. Because the A's have proven this year that their middle relievers, okay, get the job done so that you don't have to bring Trinan in until the game is decided in the ninth or in there. So you got Fernando Rodney that showed that. They got Familia. They got Trevino. They don't have to do that. They already have guys that they know can come in and get the job done.
I got you. Okay. I just – as I dig deeper into this and really start the chess match, it's incredible because you look at what managers have to deal with, and when you take it to a one-game 27 outs, Grant, you can't make a mistake. If a guy lets a guy get on and he's not looking right, you're going to have to pull him. And I would say both of these teams probably even pull him even faster than old school when you got your ace and you might suffer through a little bit with your ace if you have to.
And again, the big advantage, and I shouldn't say big, the advantage that the A's have is defensively. The Yankees at third base defensively, and behind the plate, assuming that Sanchez is starting behind the plate instead of Austin Romine, then yes. You know, I think that the A's have a have an advantage defensively. I don't think they have an advantage hitting. I mean, I can't put the A's lineup ahead of the Yankees, regardless of how well they've been. I just can't. I mean, especially with Didi Gregorius now looking healthy, and he had a very good series in Boston. I mean, the Yankees lineup is better. I'd give the edge in the bullpen to Oakland, you know. But again, as you said, it's a 27 out, 9-inning game, and you just one bad hop, one bad throw. I mean, that's what these things boil down to.
Man, you say or. One bad throw against that type of lineup that the Yankees and the A's put out there, Grant, just a little bit of location, and all of a sudden that thing is in and up in Westchester, man. You better make sure that everything is tight as fast as you can.
All right, let's get to some phone calls right here on Sports 1140 KHDK, and we start with Kevin. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to talk about the Kings, but, you know, talking about the A's makes you think about, you know, last year the A's were in the cellar, and now they're game away from the playoffs. And we want to have those conversations about the Kings in a few years. I don't think that wins are our metric for success this year. So if it's not wins, what do we need to see? And then the second question is, how do the Kings, let's say Willie has a good year, how do the Kings differentiate a good year from Willie that's worth paying for versus a good year from Willie that's not worth paying?
It's a great question. I'm glad I don't have to make that decision. It's a fabulous question. It's one that Doug and I have talked about. You know, let me get to your first question first. If you get to April this year and you don't say, oh, my gosh, De'Aaron Fox, oh, wow, is he going to be really good? If you get to April this year and you don't say the same thing about Harry Giles and Marvin Bagley, and then you got some real problems, all right? And it starts with De'Aaron Fox. If we get to April, when we get to game 82, and we're not sitting there going, wow, the Kings just made a great pick when they picked De'Aaron Fox in the draft 2 years ago, then something's really wrong. Because this team will be as good as De'Aaron Fox makes them. And I'm watching him right now, and I have not seen a lot of De'Aaron Fox this summer. And, again, I don't get too caught up on guys that aren't being guarded in warm-ups, but his shot looks much, much more solid than it did last year at this time.
The kid has special written all over it.
Yes, he does.
I think if they can stay close in the fourth rather than always playing catch-up, that would, to me, be a good sign that the young guys are
loving. And to answer your question about Willie, in my opinion, we haven't seen consistency from Willie. That's the answer.
But he said if we do.
Yeah, if we do, then whatever is comparable to the type of numbers that he's putting up, that's the ballpark that he's in. But first and foremost, there has to be a level of consistency. Yep. If the level of consistency is there, then he's made the step, and now you can start to talk about paying him and moving on.
Besides De'Aaron Fox, the guy that I'm most excited to see early in the season is Justin Jackson, because just with my eyes, he looks like he's the most improved guy of anybody on the floor.
Yeah, he's taking the summer league game and brought it.
Summer league, which is great.
Hey, Kevin, we appreciate your call. Thank you very much. He asked a very good question.
Yeah.
How do you determine success this year? And, you know, again, it's a bottom line business. You do win or you lose. But if we're not in April talking about how this team is knocking on the door of the playoffs, and I don't mean this year, I mean for next year, then something's wrong. And I've said that in the past, but that was before the Kings hit the reset button when they traded DeMarcus to New Orleans. They hit the reset button, and now they've got a whole new team with a lot of good young players. How good? We're going to find a lot of that out. And my biggest concern with De'Aaron is not if he can be really good. My biggest concern with De'Aaron is there's 82 games in a season. How many games is he going to play? He cannot get hurt. He's got to be out on the floor for a minimum, an absolute minimum of 70 games this year.
Yeah, and he has the ability, man. When I see him, Grant, I see special. He does things with the basketball, as I watched him in shoot around today, that you just don't see. But it has to be consistent, and he has to play both ends of the floor. That's a lot asking of a young player, but to whom much is given, much is expected.
All right, we'll be right back. Grant Napier and Doug Christie. This is Sports 1140 KHTK. All right, Grant Napier, Doug Christie, 339-1140. 339-1140. 800-920-1140. Again, the Kings and the Suns from what was not a sunny day since we arrived. A lot of showers in the Phoenix area.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that they needed that, Grant.
Yes,
it
indeed.
It's so hot down here. A little rain in this area would be nice for the people and the golf courses, by the way.
Nick. Boy, no kidding, huh?
Come on. You already know that. Are you excited as me? Probably not, Grant.
No.
This is you've been – not old hat, but this is, you've been doing this for a while, but watching these young players.
You know what? Honestly, I am very excited to see this because I think in preseason, you can tell guys that have improved
yes.
in the summer because now you're going again. You're not going against yourself in practice. You're now playing against other competition. And I think you can see the gains mm-hmm. made in the offseason. So I actually enjoy watching a game like this.
You know, and you're gonna know exactly what I'm talking about because we saw this, just what you said, we saw this in a player for the Suns in the Summer League, and that was Josh Jackson.
Right.
And it was visible, in my opinion.
I agree.
You could see that, and whatever that time was off between the end of the year and Summer League, he had improved. Those are the gains that you want to see. And you know what? Part of it is you get the information, Grant, but can you take the information in and then do something with that information? And the really good ones do that.
Well, we watch a guy in front of us, Harry Giles, you know, working out with, you know, two of the Kings' assistant coaches.
Yep.
And this game may not count in the standings, but I can guarantee you one thing. It's going to count for Harry Giles.
It can, man. I'm excited to see him, excited for him, knowing when injuries come, what you have to go through. Those type of injuries that he had are the ones that just put you in a depression chamber sometimes. But he's come out of it. He's always got the smile on his face. But underneath that smile, there's some meanness, Grant. And you see the talent. I mean, you see the hands.
Well,
you see the quickness. And now he's just got to do it on the floor.
All right, I'm not going to mention who told me this because I don't want to embarrass the person.
Don't do it.
But it's a very well-respected individual who I have immense respect for. And they told me that Harry Giles reminds them of a combination of Lottie Divots and Chris Webber. And I said, I stopped the person and I said, you realize what you just said? He goes, yes, I do.
I said,
wait a minute. You realize you just said he reminds you of a combination of Lottie Divots and Chris Webber. And the individual who I have immense respect for said yes.
Yeah, you know, the last person that I said that about was Cuz. Because I thought that Cuz was a combination of C-Web and Vlade. Meaning, when you talk about the skill.
And you know what? He was. And he is.
Oh, no doubt.
Right.
Now, Harry's got a long way to go and a lot to prove, but you can see those hands when he grabs the ball, it is his. That is
uh-huh.
Weber-like.
Oh, yeah.
The ability to put the ball on the deck and pass the basketball like a Vlade. But both Webb and Vlade could pass the basketball, but the kid has it. Now he's got to do it.
All guests come to you via the Fire Wings hotline. Try one of their delicious flavors of wings today. Fire Wings, just wing it. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. If you want to get online, don't forget, we'll talk some A's baseball with Ray Fosse. He's going to be coming up at 6. We're going to get you until 6:30 when we will have the pregame show. And then at 7 o'clock, all of the action right here on Sports 1140 KHTK. Don't know who's starting for the Kings. I don't know if that's super important, but we're going to get a look at a lot of guys tonight. Antonio, you're on with Grant and Doug.
Hey, guys. I got to give you my report for yesterday's game, man. I got to watch the game again today.
Which game are you talking about?
We're talking about my beloved Oakland Las Vegas Raiders against the Cleveland Browns.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I got to see. We did get lucky. We stole some of them calls, and I couldn't believe. I don't know, but I wanted DC, what did you think about that one when Beast Mode busted to the side a little bit and then they called to stop the play? Did you think that was a bad call too?
Yeah, I do. Look, one thing, you can say whatever you want about Beast Mode, man. That dude runs so hard.
He does run
I
hard.
Just go, goodness gracious,
I'd
man.
I'd hate to tackle him.
Listen, good luck. I loved him in the Seahawks jersey. I just so appreciate him. And, man, you guys got a beast on your hands. But I agree with you. That was a bad call.
Yeah. Hey, Grant, I had a quick question, too. Would you ever be interested in being the Raider play-by-play guy? I mean, not to put anything on Musburger, but down the road.
Yeah, I would always love.
Would you do it?
I've always loved football, and I would love to. You know, I've done football in the past. I actually did the Raiders for 5 years on TV during the preseason. So, if an opportunity ever arose to do the NFL, and I could also do my present job, yeah, I would definitely do it.
Can you give us an addition on the over the air and give us your touchdown Raider call for us?
No, I can't. I can't do that. I can't do that. But I would also, in all honesty, I was driving to the airport yesterday. I was listening to Brent. And unfortunately, as much as I love Brent, and he's one of my real icon, legendary figures, his radio play-by-play is not very good. You don't have any idea what's going on. It's almost like he's doing a TV telecast on radio, which does not work. And, you know, I really was listening closely because I was in the car and I was like, and it's his voice is legendary. It's great. But boy, oh, boy, he is not very good on radio, in my opinion.
Yeah, and also looking forward to, you know, I don't ever have to see another Yankee-Red Sox today. And I know you're a big Yankee fan, but I think we're getting this. I mean, maybe when Pedro threw down Zimmerman back in the day, or what was that guy, the coach for the Yankees?
Yeah,
Don Zimmer. Don Zimmer. I mean,
Popeye.
I don't think the A's. Yeah, Popeye, that's right. So I'm looking forward to tomorrow's Wednesday night game. But again, I'd like to see you as a Raider play-by-play down the road. Man, I think your agent need to get a hold of somebody and make the call because we need a new guy in there.
Well, my agent is me, so thank you very much for the call. I appreciate that.
So you just fired me? I thought I was your agent. Thanks, buddy. On air, I just been fired.
You were, but I fired you after you would not own up to the fact that you took the Giants instead of the Saints, so I dismissed you. All right, bad news for the Chiefs. Tyreek Hill limping off the side of the field. We'll update you on that. Hopefully he's all right. This is Sports 1140 KHDK.